Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, Generation Toys lets us look at their Beast Sideswipe prototype. We have some news on BotBots Series 4, and we might just be getting some new Generation Selects MicroMasters Spy Patrol figures. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, 2020, and this is episode 366 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that welcomes our future robot magazine overlords. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Wow, I'm a little impressed by Jeremy. That was pretty deep voice there. And
I'm taking advantage of the fact that I was sick.
I don't know how to feel. Let's talk Transformers.
Focus on the trans. Just think of Transformers, Daryl. Just focus on Transformers.
Doesn't help.
Tonight, we've got some special guests. Daryl, would you please introduce our special guests?
So this week, Facebook kind of went a little crazy and the fandom got talking about a new project that's starting up. And we're lucky enough to have them with us here tonight. This is Bill and Eric from Toy Robot Magazine. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right.
Good. So, yeah, I wanted to get right into this. Maybe I'll let Charles do the rest of the intro here, but we're gonna get into a bit of an interview with you guys. But I'm really excited to talk about your project here.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. So are we.
All right, Charles. Don't take too long.
Okay. All right. So, you know, of course, we always start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal to help keep the show going. And we always reserve a little bit of time to welcome new Donatrions. And this week, Dale joined the Patreon. And thank you, Dale, for contributing. We hope you are continuing to enjoy the show. And thank you for supporting us.
Wait, is this 2 weeks in a row?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah, new Donatrions 2 weeks in a row. So thanks, Dale. Thanks for keeping that streak going. And we
thank
hope
you very much, Dale.
Yeah. And you now have access to all the extra content we have in the Patreon. We've still got lots of back episodes of Declassified to listen to. We've got an upcoming special Empire of Rust show to featuring myself and Jeremy coming up, so look forward for that. And you are also automatically entered in the monthly Toy Hacks $10 gift code drawing, so lots of good stuff coming your way, Dale. All right, if you're not getting able to become a Donatrion, you can still support Transmissions by buying some merchandise from our TeePublic store, and you can do that at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And there you can go to that link and get all our stuff. You can also help out a friend of the show, K-Girl, at her TeePublic store, which is teepublic.com/user/superstarK. Sadly, there is not a TeePublic sale going on this week. There was one last week, so hope you were able to take advantage of that. But not one this week. But don't worry, I'm sure there will be another one coming along in a couple of weeks. So, you know, feel free to check that out and help us out. All right, Daryl, I'm going to hand it back to you, and let's talk about Toy Robot Magazine.
All right, fantastic. So, Bill and Eric, so let's get right into this here. You guys went, let's say, public this week by telling everyone in the Transformers fandom. Well, I'll let you tell us. What was the big news that you guys went public with this week?
Well, we, after having it under a tight secrecy here for a couple months, we decided to announce that we were going to start producing a printed magazine featuring transforming toys and robots.
Awesome. That's great. Like you guys, in your initial posts and some of the other comments, a lot of people were talking about the heyday of like Toy Fair magazine, or even back to like, I mean, I was a big fan of Wizard, so all that kind of stuff. So you get all these, you know, the nostalgic kick from all these magazines that were from our, you know, our youth, our heyday from collecting days, and you're going to kind of capitalize on all that nostalgia, and you're just going to focus on Transformers now?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a hardcore Transformer collector since, you know, I was a kid, never gave it up, became, you know, I guess professional collector. Yeah, no, anything and everything transforming robot related. Like today I just worked on an article talking about transforming robots in Star Wars.
Okay.
So it's we're going to cover the whole gambit. Nothing's going to be left behind. And we're going to also touch a little bit on robots and history and stuff like that as well.
So the majority of the content will focus on Transformers, but we will be focusing on, you know, things like Voltron and, you know, any type of like influential toy robot. We're going to make sure that we've got tons of interesting content, and it's not going to just be exclusively new stuff. We're going to cover it through, you know, all ages.
That's awesome. Cool. So, I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush too much here. I got to jump right to the main question. Why a magazine? I mean, we a lot of the stuff we get today is out of the computer, and we get a lot of really cool pictures out of that. And you're going, it seems like you're going backwards. So what's with the magazine?
I'm definitely there for everything online. Obviously we do Facebook, Unicron.com, Cybertron, AllSpark, all these guys, you guys with your podcast everywhere. How many times do you sometimes see the same article kind of recycled through all these different forums in the matter of a day? I want to bring back something unique. And when you go to these forums, sometimes I'm sure you've noticed, you'll see the same topics come up over and over and over again, usually cycling about once every year and a half or so. I want to bring you guys topics as a writer that you're not going to see anywhere else on the internet. We may not always cover what's brand new and news coming out. That's where online is really good for. You guys are bringing out all these great articles on what's the newest thing hitting the shelf. But when was the last time you read an article, say, about a GoBot exclusive that most people may not have known about?
And the other side of that was there's a... I mean, you touched on it a little bit, the nostalgia factor. I mean, I'm 37. I read Wizard and Toy Fair religiously, and you know, I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm still a sucker for print. If I saw a really good magazine covering these types of topics, I wouldn't mind having one at my disposal. I don't need to read everything and anything online, and I give it bonus points to Eric because a lot of the perspectives and topics that he knows a lot about are not easily found online. They're going to be unique to the magazine. And I myself, I have a videography company. I've worked for an ad agency. I do photography. So the majority of the photos are also going to be unique and exclusive to the magazine as well, because we're out taking photos of bits and pieces of our collection. Because between Eric and I, we've got, you know, several thousand different Transformers and toys and you name it. So really, it's... just having that tangible nostalgia piece to look at and share with your friends and family. I think we're hoping a lot of people will gravitate towards that.
And I think there's definitely an audience for it. I personally, for magazines, I love the pictures. I'm going to love the fact that you're probably going to have really great pictures, full page, full color pictures, you know, hey, maybe a centerfold or two of, you know, this month's robot of choice.
Actually, every magazine will have pull-out posters akin to you know, like Wizards and all of them back in the day used to have posters.
That's have posters. Awesome. I love that
Daryl
idea.
Daryl just wants to have Fort Max just kind of stretched out.
But no, I love that idea. And you know, there's some really great toy photographers out there, and you know, you basically you get to see their work online, and the work you see through Twitter or through Facebook or wherever, it's kind of compressed down to the file size that can be shown through there. So you really can't, you know, either zoom in or you can't really see the detail that they're trying to get through on the through their photos. So I love the photography and stuff like that that goes into magazines. The tactile feel. I'm still a big comic book reader. I buy every comic book physically that I read. So I love the tactile sensation of reading the comic book. It's the same with a magazine.
I used to run a comic book shop. So, you know, I used to have several hundred customers coming in, and I would see over 90% of my customers preferred a physical copy to a digital copy.
Of course. Yeah, of course. So yeah, no, I totally get it. So what roles are you guys playing? So, you know, you guys are, you're working this idea. You're going to make a magazine that's, you know, focused on robot toys. What are you guys doing and how is this going to be put together? Like who's doing what?
All right. Well, a long time ago, we're talking 15, 20 years ago, I tried getting a magazine off the ground through one of the forums back in the day, and I can't remember which one it would have been, but I'm sure you guys know when you're working with a group of people, sometimes everybody needs to be on the same page, and it didn't work out.
Sure.
And in this case, I was in a situation where I was like, I need to do something, and I had all this pent up just need to get something done, something new. And I said, I'm going to bring this magazine idea back. And I start hammering out a few articles, and I presented it to Bill. And Bill, like I said, as he mentioned, he's a photographer. So I thought, I have articles, I have a photographer. And then Bill had some more ideas beyond that.
I had recently done a documentary with Eric. I brought him on as kind of a producer role. We did a documentary called The Collectors. Mm-hmm. For a competition, which we, oddly enough, we won best film for that. And it really sparked this interest in involving collecting with my profession, personally. And so after we did that, Eric had approached me. I thought that the idea sounded great. I missed the magazine. And I knew that my photography skills were up to snuff, that we could do creative stuff. And we also had the advantage of there was an ad agency here in town that I worked at for 5 years. I've had a really good relationship with the owner. And he loves doing magazines because they do a local one that's like almost national quality. And I knew that if we presented the idea to him, that he would be down. And sure enough, we had a nice informal meeting. And it all just kind of came together from there, the three of us partnered up our roles. Eric is going to be the writer, like the main editor essentially, and I'll do an article here or there, but I'll serve as kind of the lead photographer, like the majority of the photo content, and I kind of I'm a bit of an art director as well, while the ad agency does all the layout. The owner of the ad agency we're gonna talk with about, you know, just marketing strategies, distribution, those types of things that, you know, I know enough to be dangerous, but I certainly don't know as much as the guy who owns the ad agency that we're using.
Was there any discussions or have you had any discussions with maybe outsourcing any of the photos or anything like that to some of the guys that do the photography within the fandom? I'm thinking more along the lines of maybe a Maz or Sixo, some of those guys that take you know, really, really great photos.
Well, we are hoping to involve the fandom, and we actually already have for the first issue. Like we had said about the posters in the middle, we had some artist submissions for a few of the posters. Okay. And we're hoping that in conjunction with social media, it's going to turn into something where people are able to submit photos or artwork, things of that nature throughout the course of the magazine, as long as it stays successful. And sure. we really like the idea of it is our magazine, but in a way it's everybody's magazine. And we're really, really wanting to just connect with everyone. So we know there's a lot of talent in the fan community, and we love representing them.
We've talked to a lot of people on the show. We've interviewed a number of people in the process of creating their own books. You know, we had a guy by the name of Brycey on a couple years ago. We've had Mark Bellamo on, and we've had a couple other people on, and they all been making their own stuff within Transformers and you know, whatnot, photos, and Bellamo's was a price guide and blah, blah, blah. There comes into it near the end of the project rights. And have you guys talked about that? What about, you know, getting the rights to produce images of Transformers?
Well, you know, you mentioned Mark Bellamo and stuff. I've known him for 20 odd years now. Actually, both my G.I. Joe and Transformer price guides are personal copies from him. So,
nice.
You know, I followed his career since I was in middle school, I think. But, you know, you go out there and you look at things. What you got to watch is when you do all this stuff is, there's toes that can be stepped on. And if you do something correct, a company 90% of the time will realize they're getting free advertising out of you, which is always good. But also there's artistic sure. license with writing. So what our magazine is more or less editorials and opinions, and this falls into the realm of journalism, and there's a bunch of mucky muck okay. behind the scenes. So you can write about something, i.e. I can go and review a movie and use footage from the trailer, but I can't make claims like, you know, Disney, you know, murders pixies to make all their films or something hilarious like that. You can't say something that is, what's it, defamation or whatever. You can't slander. You can't slander a company, but they can't stop you from mm-hmm. commenting and talking about it. Also, it's not just Hasbro's properties we're covering. We're covering companies that have been out for, I mean, there's companies I'm covering that folded in the 80s. So, you know, there's always a little bit of fear there for sure, but I'm not really worried about it when there are thousands of online sites. There have been hundreds upon hundreds of books and magazines, and they are allowed to cover these things, and that's under fair journalism. So we're not too concerned about it because we're, you know, I think in the end of the day, this is good for the fandom, and I think the companies, when they get covered, are very aware of that as well. I don't know if okay. Bill had any input on that or not.
No, I mean, I think Eric pretty much covered it. There's always a little bit of risk when you try to tackle a topic like this, just like doing a fan film. You know, some companies are very supportive and will back you, and some will try to take your shorts. But if you do it intelligently, we're also not being exclusive to Transformers. We're covering this as a broad range of transforming robots, third party, other brands. So really, we're trying to do fair editorial coverage. And, you know, honestly, with the discussions we've had with the legal counsel that we have, we're basically being told that we're on the right track.
Jeremy, you had a question?
Well, I did, but he just answered it. I was going to ask if they're going to cover third party as well.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Anything transforming robot is related. I'm going to tell you, I think in our first issue, I don't have my prototype copy up in front of me right now, but I think I cover like 10 different brands within the first issue. I'm talking like knockoffs. We cover third. I think I touch on a third party company. We cover G1. We cover all sorts of stuff, guys. If it is a transforming robot or related to it in some way or form, eventually I want to touch on it.
I would love to see those old knockoffs that were always in the Easter baskets of like the Devastator.
Oh my God. Yes.
We cheap, horrible ones. We have a article in our first issue covering something really close to that.
Awesome.
That was the best thing about those things, man. I would cruise down to Kmart. Kmart seemed to be the only place that would have them. And there's just these huge knockoffs of the Stunticons and Constructicons. Yeah. And I would buy those suckers up, man. They were just awesome.
Yeah, they're horrible, but they're awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, they're horrible, but in an awesome way.
So in general, going forward, do you plan to make this is this more like a retro focused magazine, or do you try to do a mix of looking back and also looking at current stuff as well?
Yeah, this is going to be even across the board. We want to focus on current, but we also want to reflect on vintage. The demographic for this, I mean, we've got our, it's pretty much a broad range, but you know, 20, 30, 40 year olds, we don't want to exclude anyone. And there's a lot of stuff out there over the past 30, 40, 50 years that some people may not know about. And Eric has done his due diligence and has a lot of information on things that some people may not even know exist. So we don't want to exclude that. And that also kind of relates to what he was saying about websites. It's like, obviously you can go online and get a lot of information about the current stuff. And while we will include some of that, that won't make us unique. We'll use it as a bridge, right, for sure. Because like with the current line, like Siege, Earthrise, that stuff, that's also bringing in a lot of new collectors. So we don't want to exclude the new collectors, but we also want to give something the old collectors to be entertained with.
Cool.
So where are you at with this project? So obviously you mentioned that you've got a prototype magazine and you've got a Facebook page that you want everyone to check out. And so that's, what is it? It's facebook.com/toyrobotmagazine.
Yeah, I know you had the link up in there. I don't have it linked directly, but yeah, if you go on Facebook, look up Toy Robot, you got us.
Perfect. So what's next for you? So, you know, you're, where are you in the project? You know, where are you going, and when do you expect to kind of go, and when can we all expect to get a magazine in hand?
Okay. So where we're at is, being this was the first one, we've had about 4.5 months of work behind the scenes on this one. I'm going in and doing some pretty much final edits on the magazine tomorrow. But the magazine is 99.99% done. Like, if we wanted to, we could probably cut a few things and it would go to print tomorrow if we want to.
Cool.
We have a Kickstarter we have to plan, which is happening this week. I think we're going to lay down our final notes and figure out what our price goals are and everything. And then we will have a website for subscriptions. And when you do the Kickstarter, if you back us on the Kickstarter, you're going to have a chance at subscriptions for a much better rate than, you know, going to the website later down the road.
Sure.
But we are probably within a month of printing, I would say. You know, we got to wait for the Kickstarter to finish. So a little over 30-ish days.
Yeah, we're not going to initially print any issues until the Kickstarter is done. And that'll give us our set quantity. But like Eric said, if we wanted to, it's basically done. We're doing some real, real fine tweaks right now. So we could print it any time, but we're going to wait and see just how many people we can get to get interested and back this project.
Yeah, like currently I'm writing, I'm putting up the finishing touches on the base articles for issue number 2 already. So, you know, I have no editing done to them or anything like that, but there's already 24, 25 articles written for issue number 2. And then also I wanted to say here, because I don't know if we mentioned it or not, we plan on 6 issues in volume 1. So once every 2 months, yep, we're going to pump an issue out.
Bi-monthly, and we're anticipating, since the Kickstarter will take a little bit of time, that people will start getting those first issues hopefully by the end of February, early March.
Jeremy, you had another question?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to confirm, this is going to be print only. There's not going to be like an online edition.
Currently,
that's the point.
Yes, currently we are putting our foot down. We're like, print only. However, the gentleman that's backing us, the McQuillan Creative Group, they have suggested possibly down the road, after X amount of time, slowly release older issues via digital. That's their current business model, and it seems to work for them.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, because there are services out there that do let you get magazines digitally. And
yeah, but yep. As I get older, I find myself sitting at a table at dinner with some friends, and it drives me nuts to see everybody on their phone not conversing, or when I go see family, and I have 14 kids in a house during Christmas time, and nobody's talking to each other. I'm hoping this magazine gives people a chance to sit down with their friends at a table and read. And, you know, I miss reading magazines with my dad. We used to spend whole afternoons just sitting in the living room, hanging out, reading all the hobby magazines. So we're focusing on that print angle.
Are you planning on being at any conventions coming up, like TFCon?
Well, we actually have an individual who is going to spread the word about us and possibly get some pictures for us at the New York City Toy Fair convention in a couple weeks. But yes, conventions are definitely something that we want to get ourselves into. At this time, it isn't feasible since we're so involved on right. the beginning of the magazine. But we hope that the fandom grows large enough that they want to see us there, or that we want to, you know, hand out magazines and things like that. That'd be like a dream come true.
I'll be the first person to say, if you're running a convention and you like what you see, especially after the Kickstarter goes live, you know, hit us up. I'm always down for a trip to go to a convention.
Was there anything else that you wanted to pass along about the magazine or the project?
This is Eric here. I would like to say, everybody who's already liked the page, we've only been up for 5 days and we have almost 800 likes. It's been going about 100 likes a day. Everybody who likes that page, please share it. You know, you guys getting us on your show, we appreciate it. Because this is going to be a lot of word of mouth, because we are small. And as you guys have mentioned, that big $1 million question is print. And there's going to be people who are going to be like, well, why would I want to do that? And I'm going to tell you guys, when you get this magazine, you're going to see stuff in there that is different. You're not going to find it on the forums. You're not going to find it in the news chats. Bill?
The only other thing I'd say is that it's a small team of dedicated individuals. We don't have more than 4 people working on this. And I've got about 15 years in video and advertising experience. And we've all made the time to, like, make sure that this is done and done right. So when people message and ask about the quality and things, this is going to be a national quality magazine. Getting that type of product in hand is going to be exciting for a lot of people.
It's something that's been needed on the market for a while.
Yeah, and it's something that's been needed into the market. I mean, we went down to Barnes & Noble. We asked one of the guys that was working there last time they saw a toy magazine on the shelf, and he honestly could not remember. And he had been there a long time. So we knew it would be about time to get it on there. And best way to stay up to date on how that's going is going to be on our Facebook page.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys do. And if I can walk into a store and buy this thing off the rack, man, that'll be a good day.
That'll be our biggest hurdle.
Yep.
So we'd like to end all of our interviews with a set of rapid fire questions. They're just, you know, binary questions, A or B kind of deal. And just let us know what you like and a little bit more about you guys. So Bill and Eric, let's run through some rapid fire here. All right. So first up, Autobot or Decepticon?
Autobot.
Decepticon.
All right. Who's your favorite Autobot and Decepticon?
My favorite Decepticon would be Armada Tidal Wave.
And mine's always going to be G1 Optimus.
All right. Going classic. All right, live action movie, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or Bumblebee?
Bumblebee.
Is there a none of the above option for this one? Or I'm going to go with Bumblebee.
So with the next one's a comics one. So More Than Meets the Eye, which turned into Lost Light, Robots in Disguise, which turned into Optimus Prime, Till All Are One, or the new Transformers?
Till All Are One.
I am way behind on my current stuff, but the Robots in Disguise stuff was pretty fun.
Third-party toys, yes or no?
Yes.
Sometimes the price off puts me, but there have been beautiful works, and I love to see what the individual can come up with.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Cats.
Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Tea for me.
Chicken or steak?
Steak.
We live in the middle of
South Dakota.
South Dakota meant steak.
Moo.
Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
I don't care. My blood is sugar pop water. I don't care. Put pop in front of me.
Okay. Burger King or McDonald's?
So you hear the crickets chirping?
Yeah. I guess Burger King.
Yeah. Burger King.
All right. History or science?
History.
Science.
Xbox, PlayStation, or Switch?
Oh, man, that's tough. I got kids. I have to say Switch, man. But PlayStation is right there with it.
I guess I've always been a PlayStation guy if I had to go consoles.
PC or Mac?
Mac.
PC.
Oh. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
I've never owned an iPhone in my life. I'm only on my third cell phone in history.
Marvel or DC?
What medium?
Comics.
Oh,
comics. Marvel.
DC all the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are the only ones who have ever asked what medium.
Nice.
Good.
Because well, if it's film, it's no contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stallone or Schwarzenegger?
Oh, man. Those were my heroes, dude. Both. I can't pick. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'll go Schwarzenegger.
All right. Pixar or DreamWorks?
Pixar.
I suppose Pixar, yeah.
Do either one of you have a guilty pleasure movie that you'll always watch whenever you run across it on TV?
UHF.
I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure one or not, but Fifth Element I have seen over 2,000 times.
All right.
That's not an exaggeration.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Eric, you answer that one
okay,
first.
Okay, for ships, Star Wars. For story, Star Trek.
All right.
Sorry, yeah, I was just thinking because I'm so torn with everything that's going on lately. I mean, Picard just started, so it's winning my heart back, man. So I'll say Star Wars for now, but I'm just about back to Star Trek.
Okay. Simpsons, Family Guy, or Rick and Morty?
In the order you said, but reversed. Rick and Morty, Family Guy, Simpsons.
Family Guy.
All right. Walking Dead or Game of Thrones?
Can I delete the last season of Game of Thrones and say
most
Game
people,
of Thrones?
Most people do ask for the last season to be.
I've never watched an episode of Walking Dead nor read a single issue of the comic, so Game of Thrones.
All right. NFL, MLB, NHL, UFC, or NBA?
NFL.
NFL.
Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini, or Volkswagen Beetle?
Well, I drive a Volkswagen Beetle, so I'm going to have to say that, but I know what Eric's going to say.
I have a Lamborghini Countach toy just sitting right here, man. So, yeah, Lamborghini. Lamborghini.
All right, and the last one.
You have the toy. Not the
actual. Okay. But I'm from, I spent a year in Vegas, so I have had the chance to hop in a Lamborghini and, like, ride around in one.
Oh, you're doing better than us.
That was the best day of 16-year-old Eric's life ever.
And the last question, blonde, brunette, or redhead?
Blonde.
Ugh, redhead, man.
All right. And that's it. You made it through the gauntlet. Well done.
Excellent.
All right.
And you're hanging out for the rest of the toy show then, eh?
If you'll have us, yeah.
I think we will.
All right, yeah, so that was a great interview, and everyone check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/toyrobotmagazine, and when the Kickstarter goes live, we will make sure to mention it on the show so everyone can check that out, and we're looking forward to it. I think I will, I'll just say right now, I am definitely leaning towards backing this, so yeah, as soon as this goes live, let us know. All right, let's go on and talk about more Transforming Toy News.
All right, so we've got an update that I've personally been waiting a lot for, because this was a really cool image that we saw in prototype form. So we're talking about Generation Toys GT-11 Red Bull. This is a sideswipe figure, but it doesn't turn into a car. This turns into a bull. This is a beast transformer of sideswipe, and oh god, it's beautiful. So this is a color prototype images of Beast Sideswipe here, and it's so cool looking. So, yes, Sideswipe turns into a bull, but in robot mode, it actually looks like the masterpiece figure. The chest on this guy is proportioned to look like the way it would if it were a car hood. It's hard to explain, if you're not looking at the pictures, but the robot mode of this really does look like a G1 sideswipe. I'm really impressed with the way that this thing looks. That takes nothing away from the bull mode, which I'm really impressed with, but the fact that they've been able to pull off this robot mode, I'm I'm really, really impressed with that. I don't know. I'm this is from Generation Toy. They've done a lot of really cool things. I think they did that Beast Gorira. So they've got some experience with doing the beast modes. And yeah, I'm really impressed with this thing. Have I said that enough? Jeremy, talk about this thing. What do you think?
I'm even more in love with this than when we first saw the images. I love that it looks like the gun lights up, or at least one barrel, like one part of the gun lights up. That's pretty cool. And I don't know, that now that we're seeing like all these different poses and stuff, just what they've been able to pull off with the beast mode is just great. I mean, it's not like, you know, the Beast Wars animal modes where they tried to make it look so animalistic. This is just a robot bull. Mm-hmm. And I think he looks really cool. And they even have a picture with him standing up kind of as a minotaur mode.
Yeah. It's
pretty neat. So, yeah, this thing is just, as a huge Sideswipe fan, this is a fantastic version. Mm-hmm. And I love it when third-party companies just do something completely off the wall like this and make it look so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they're daring you not to get it.
Well, yeah. So. Or, I mean, it's just like, okay, yeah, the character we didn't come up with, but we're not really copying much. We're doing our own thing with it. And mm-hmm. you know, this is something Hasbro would never do.
Oh, no, never. I'm going to throw it to our guests, Bill and Eric. What do you think?
I just saw pictures of this recently, and I don't follow third party as well as I should, but this reminded me a lot of what was maybe what we would have seen a hint of if Beast Wars had continued in the, I can't remember, was it Transtech or what was that canceled season they were going to do where they were going to go more into the machine modes with animal faces?
It's a question for Jeremy.
I'm not sure. I mean, was that Transtech?
I can't remember if that's Transtech or not. I was going to look it up.
Yeah, I believe it was Transtech. Yeah, the canceled, the one that was never came to fruition.
Yeah, so that's the first thing that came to my mind was, like, maybe this is something that we could have seen and now we are.
But, you know, so looking at the pictures of the figure that has been created, is this something that would interest you if you ever saw it at, like, a convention or on a store shelf?
Again, my guiltiness is that if I had infinite money, everything interests me. If it's a Transformer, it really does. It's my lifeblood. But, yeah, no, they did an amazing job with this figure.
Right on. Well, Charles, you like Minotaurs and bulls, right? And you can't say no to the color red, from what I understand. So I think this is all about you.
And I like Sideswipe.
Oh, hey, there you go.
No, this is super cool. What I really like is the attention to detail here. Like the Sideswipe's got little bull's horns on his robot head. Mm-hmm. He's got the pile driver accessories from the, you know, from the G1 cartoon. He's got his missile. He's got a gun accessory. It's all, the missile is also there in bull mode. So he's got kind of a, you know, everything is like, there's no kibble you can lose there, because it's all mm-hmm. it's all there in both modes. Yeah, I think this is great. The articulation looks really good. They show so many poses that he can be in robot mode and in bull mode. It looks like he's got even a secret third mode where like a bull sled or something.
Yeah, we're looking at that so, right now.
It's cool. Yeah, I mean I do think this is probably going to be a little expensive. I mean, just given how much detail and care has been put into this figure, but if you're a big Sideswipe fan, I think this is a really good figure.
Well, that's all I brought to the show this week. Jeremy, what do you have for us?
Well, first I have rumors, or I guess not really rumors. There was an EB Games pre-order listing that included a Generation Selects Micromaster Spy Patrol listing, and I think that was new. I think the previous Spy Patrols were the tapes for Soundwave.
Mm-hmm.
So wondering if we're going to be getting some Autobot tapes here. What do all you think? Yeah, I don't think a blaster has been announced, but do you think we're going to be getting some of the Autobot tapes?
The article speculates Buzzsaw and Frenzy as recolors of Laserbeak and Rumble.
Well, I guess, but I mean, I thought those were listed as like Soundwave Spy Patrol or something. I don't know.
I'm could just be guessing.
The cassettes have been selling really well and been really popular. I've noticed like almost every other line lately, they've been releasing a cassette-related item. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a question for sure.
It's crazy, though, because kids have no idea of what they actually are referencing.
Yeah. I had one kid come into my shop a long time ago asking for a 8-track converter, and we were very confused, and she was talking about audio cassette hookup in her car.
All right, the next thing I have is it was sent to us from Hasbro PR, but we have a link here to TFW's article on it. And it is about a new BotBot Series 4. They're subtitling it the Gold Rush Games. They have a look here of all of the Series 4 tribes, everything from the Magic Tricksters to the Retro Replays and the Los Deliciosos, or I'm sure I butchered that, but whatever. There's lots of fun themes here. I think my wife would actually probably be interested in some of these Science Alliance to have on her desk. There's like a little flask and microscope and stuff, and her being a scientist, I think
I've become a huge fan of the BotBots.
You have?
Yes.
I know, like, I don't think a lot of us are really into them. Like, we get them here and there just to have something to fiddle with. But what do you think of all these?
Well, I've been, back in the day, I used to collect Battle Beasts and other chibi toys before they were really popular in America. And then I was lucky enough to live near the border in New Mexico. And so we used to get a bunch of stuff from overseas there. So a lot of the Japanese figurines and chibi figures would come over, PVC collectible figures. And so I've been a big fan of it. I'm surprised how many they're pumping out. I mean, at this point, I think with Series 4, it's got to be one of the longest, most massive lines in the Transformers history for just sheer numbers.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's the quality isn't the best on some of them, I'm going to tell you that. But, I mean, I like them. I think they're cute and fun. Yeah.
They're having fun with the names. I mean, the puns are up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking here also. They're doing some rare gold ones in this line, too. There's a golden egg called Goldface. A blender called Liquid Gold. I'm guessing this is a pencil called Gold Dexter, and a turtle called Goldie Rock.
Yep.
And then there's a few more here. So I'm guessing each tribe is going to have a Chase Gold figure. So that'll be fun to try to get. I don't know. I think these are just, I don't know. They're not really kind of targeted towards me, but they're fun to fiddle with. But as someone with a small child, I can see just the kids going crazy for him too.
My daughter, I have two daughters, but my 7-year-old, she was actually excited to see him because I kind of let her get away with the YouTube toy video stuff like every other parent because it's cheap babysitting. But Shopkins were huge with her, and these are like transforming Shopkins, so her brain kind of exploded. So that's cool. I think they have a good appeal.
It's a great kind of way to get kids into Transformers, and then they can graduate to some of the other ones, like kids that wouldn't normally be looking at the brand.
Oh, yeah, it's a gateway Transformer.
Yeah, cool. So that's what I got this week. Charles, Daryl, did you guys want to comment on these at all?
I mean, yeah, these are cool. I just I feel like I need to stay away because I know, like, if I like, because I did buy a few of the Series 1 BotBots, but these feel to me like the same with the Transformers trading card game. Like, I just can't allow myself to buy too many, or I'll just try to, you know,
that
hunt down
and get them all. Thing in your head will kick on.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'll just admire them from afar, but maybe not pick up too many of them. And the whole, like, yeah, the whole aspect of, you know, being blind and not knowing what you get in every, you know, if I could just pick out the ones I like and pick them out and get them, that would be great. But, you know, the whole blind collecting is it's a slippery slope.
I was getting them for my daughter. She's 10 now, and she's not interested in them. So I it's just one of those things that they're fun and they're cute, but I'm not buying them for myself. So I'm if we're out and I need to occupy her with something for, you know, an hour or something, I might pick one up, but because it goes to me regardless after the fact. But it other than that, I'm not buying them for myself.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I got, Charles. What do you have this week?
All right, so we've got some more from Flame Toys, our favorite non-transforming model kit and action figure maker who makes they're licensed official Transformer toys, but they're not Transformers. They're just action figures or model kits. And we've got two more that in-hand images of the Flame Toys Kuro Kara Kuri Optimus Prime, and this is a very stylized Optimus Prime, so lots of influences from lots of different iterations of Optimus Prime. So he's got swords, he's got an axe, he's got a giant like Matrix sword, I guess it's a Star Saber. He's got the Matrix in his chest, it opens up, it's very shiny, it's got a stand, so you can put him in lots of cool action poses. Looks like he comes with multiple hands, so his hands can be in different poses. He's got a backpack that can hold his laser pistol, his laser rifle, I should say, and it looks
ion
like
ion cannon.
It's also called a laser rifle.
Pew-pew gun.
It looks like he's got a jetpack too. Maybe that Sideswipe's jetpack looks really cool. It's, I mean, it looks like this is what I wish the original live action movie had looked like.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really nice.
Was it intended to mash up like several of the Optimus Primes? Cause like when I'm looking at it, I'm noticing like the axe, especially is like Transformers animated. The the swords look Bayverse. Like, was that an intention that you guys were aware of? Or,
I mean, there's no information about where they drew their influences, but I think that's a safe bet. I mean, I think it seems pretty clear that they're trying to draw from lots of different iterations, and yeah, and I like it. I think they've done a really good job of blending those aspects together and coming up with a cool figure.
Only recently started with the Flame Toys stuff, so I just got the first Optimus Prime and the Starscream that they released. And being a fan of Gunpla, these things are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But being as it doesn't transform, would we ever write about it?
Yeah, we absolutely would. Is it a transformed relaying item? It's a transforming relaying item.
I suppose. I'll let it go.
Oh yeah, and this one is diecast. So this one is not the.
Oh, so this is from their action figure line, straight up. Okay.
Yeah,
this is not the model kit that you put together. This is the action figure.
Okay,
line.
I haven't bought any of these yet. So.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't either. So, but this is looking really good.
Yeah.
Daryl, what do you think of this guy?
I think it looks awesome. I kind of get like a medieval feel off of it. Mm-hmm. With all the swords and shit. But yeah, it looks really cool. I like it. I'm looking at it thinking, you know, at first I was like, how long will this take to assemble? But then you mentioned that it's not. And then I was thinking, how long will I have to work to afford this? But it looks really good and I like it. Yeah, I mean, it's got joints everywhere. It's highly poseable. It's cool. You know, Flame Toys is winning me over with their stuff, and it's really neat.
What scale is this?
Expensive.
Well, like how big of a size?
Yeah. What are the dimensions? Is any of that info out there yet?
No, I think generally when I've seen these, like I was at New York Comic Con and I saw a bunch of this type of line from them, maybe roughly masterpiece height.
Oh wow!
I mean, that's what I would guess.
Nice.
Jeremy, what do you think of this guy?
This looks great, and I totally can't afford it. What I would love is for them to just put out the weapon packs. Just having, you know, that Star Saver or even their his Ion Blaster, that would be something great to just, like, put on my MP10. But this thing just looks fantastic.
I did look it up on Big Bad Toy Store, and yeah, I think this is outside of everyone's price range. This is at $450.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Don't feel bad though, because it's sold out, so you don't have to worry about missing out on it.
But you know, this is something that Bill and Eric can write off.
Oh yeah, right. Yes, that was actually a funny discussion we had, because if we get something like this for the magazine, who gets it?
You we just have to a magazine share. Detolf, and everyone just gets to look at it.
And it's 8.3 inches tall, 21 centimeters for Daryl.
Thank you.
5 LED lights packed in the body, and over 100 articulation positions.
That's impressive for something that size.
Yep. 6 pairs of hands, 3 face plates, 2 swords, 2 axes, short cannon, and a big sword. I think the $450 price tag is I guess earned here.
Yeah, when you gotta consider too, it's a third party, so they gotta pay for those licensing fees and all the detail and all the molding.
All right, moving on to my second Flame Toys figure. Now this one is probably a little bit more affordable because this is the model kit. This is the Devastator model kit. So we've already seen a bunch of the other ones. We've got the Optimus Prime, the Drift, the IDW Megatron, the Starscream. Now we've got Devastator. And this is a very, I'd say, stylized, not too, you know, not too hyper detailed or realistic, but very much a very, I'd say, taking creative license with Devastator. He's a little bit more rounded. You can tell, you know, it's not quite the animation model, but it is, I would say it's like an anime Gundam style for Devastator, which we don't really see Devastator in that style. So it's pretty interesting. And they do compare, they have comparison pictures with the Optimus Prime and Drift, Furai model kits. And he does stand a little bit taller, not super, you know, he's not Devastator size compared to Optimus Prime, but he is a little bit taller. So he's 18 centimeters at the head to the 16 centimeters for Drift and Optimus Prime. Although with Devastator's giant crane on his arm, he goes even up to 20 centimeters. So if you care to count that, it's kind of like counting Marge's hair as her height, but. But yeah, so this Devastator. So, Bill and Eric, what do you think of this Devastator figure? It's a little bit different looking Devastator.
I'm honestly, I would pass on this for me personally. Like, I don't know if I'm a fan of the look or not. Like, I'm going through the images. It definitely looks like he never skipped leg day. Like these big thighs. You know, I can appreciate it, but I don't think the style is my cup of tea.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I've been waiting for this one to come out, so I'll be hunting this one down. I definitely want a posable Devastator on my shelf that isn't you know, the Combiner Wars, the big giant one. So this will be a fun addition to my collection, I think.
All right, Jeremy, what do you think of this guy?
I think I can deal with the colors, but I think when we mentioned it the first time, when we just had like the promo images, we mentioned his feet, and that's still bugging me. His left foot just looks off compared, like everything else looks like Earth construction vehicles, and then like the front part of this concrete mixer just does not look like anything that I've ever seen on Earth. I mean, other than that, I think he looks fine. I'm sure people are going to be upset that he doesn't actually form 6 different vehicles, but none of these transform, so why would you expect it? But I don't know. I think he's fine. I probably won't pick him up. Just the foot thing really bugs me.
Daryl, Devastator was one of your early toys as a kid, right? So
It's true.
Is this a worthy successor to a well-known Devastator connoisseur?
It's very cool. I agree with a lot of the opinions that the stylized aspect of it is definitely something that you need to be into. So for me, it's some of the components, some of the the stuff sticking off of them are just weird shapes, and I kind of am not into it. I'd much rather put one together that looks a little bit more, with more realistic type construction vehicles, But other than that, I mean, it's a very cool figure. It's extremely poseable. It's very cool. Yeah, no, I don't think the stylized version is just not my thing, Mm-hmm. I mean, this is more in the line with the stylized Optimus, the stylized Starscream, and that kind of thing. They've got their own way of doing their stylized stuff, and it's cool. I don't know. This one just doesn't. It's not resonating with me as much as I would have liked it to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this one is at Big Bad Toy Store. This is $90, so still, it's a little up there. I mean, it's more
the
affordable.
$40?
The Optimus Prime, the Fry model kit. Yeah, I think the Optimus Prime is $40. Yeah, or $50 maybe.
Yeah,
that's a big jump for another additional 2 centimeters.
Yeah, agreed.
And on Big Bad, it's $40, the Optimus Prime, the original Farai Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Although the G1, or no, the IDW version Optimus Prime is $63.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, they're climbing a little bit.
Yeah. But
yeah, that still is a big jump.
That's the action figure, not the model kit, I think, or... Yeah, this is not the model kit.
They really need to distinguish their lines a little bit better.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, there's obviously going to be a lot more plastic in this thing because there's just that much more stuff in it, but that's a giant jump for something you still got to assemble.
All right, well, that's my toy topic, so that'll wrap up our toy news section. So let's move on to trips to the store. This is the part of the show where we show off all our awesome Transformers-related merchandise that we bought this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got on YouTube in beautiful high definition. But we'll put the audio right here in the show so you can continue to listen to us describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, we'll start off with Jeremy. What do you got, Jeremy?
So months ago, our friend Jemmers gave us all test pressings of the Respect the Prime LP, which was it was a great gift, and I think we were all kind of blown away. And he's just finishing up his final Electronic Saviors compilation. I think he says like 5 or 6 CDs. So I thought I would show what I've done with the album. I got a frame for it, and I still need to get kind of a mat, but this will help keep it safe, and hopefully I'll be able to mount it back here behind me. Not much, but again, I am incredibly grateful to Jemmers for giving me this. I've never played it. I probably never will. But
that's cool.
So I've got the real album to play. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right, Daryl, you're up next.
If you were following my Twitter, I put together a model this week. So I put together the IDW version of the Optimus Prime Kurakuri model kit. And this guy looks, he's just awesome. He's just great. So, yeah, super poseable. And, joints on top of joints. I just love this thing. And,
Do the joints come apart for you?
What joints? Which ones?
Like all of them.
I mean, I
elbows,
put them together.
Knees, whatever. Like as you move them.
No.
It might just be because I'm a dumbass.
I was gonna say the joints on mine were pretty tight and good.
Okay, mine as I move them, they kind of work themselves apart.
No, I mean I don't mess around with it that much, but it's pretty awesome. Yeah, so I'm really digging these model kits. like we were talking about on the show just a moment ago. But yeah, these ones here are just they're phenomenal. I went to my local comic book shop and I found the Transformers Reaction series there. So I picked up Optimus Prime. This is the one that's the Action Masters, and I just happened to pull out my Action Master Optimus Prime, so I've got them to show next to each other. They are the same size, and they do fit. This Reaction Master figure fits inside the Action Master Optimus Prime vehicle, so it's and he's got the little holes on his feet, so you can peg him in there. And yeah, literally, just you know, he's got you know 4 points of articulation. That's oh no, sorry, five. His head turns, so that's it. It's a hard plastic. Yeah, it's the gun does come out of their hands, so you know you can you know take pictures or whatever with them out. But yeah, they're hard plastic, and the joints are really solid. Not like the Action Masters where. They're, you know, they suck. So, yeah, so I picked that up. And the other thing is I kind of dug this out and I'd forgotten I had it. This is a Transformers coloring book from 1984. So this is, was printed in Canada. Yay us. this I had been listening to TFU.info's podcast and this was done. There's some info in there. I can't see what I'm looking at there, but Steve Ditko, of Spider-Man fame was part of the creative team on this thing. So that is really cool. So yeah, and I was flipping through it here and there's no art has actually no coloring has been done in this coloring book. So I don't know what the hell I got this for and where I did it, but yeah, it's awesome. And yeah. Yeah. The art on the front, I don't know who did it. It's not Ditko, but that's like what the hell is up with Prowl, man? Like that's he looks like
he's
shit.
Doing a princess wave.
So, yeah. So, yeah. But no, that's my week. Pretty fun. Little Transformers. But yeah. And then I built a bigger one. Yeah.
All right, Bill and Eric, what do you got to show us this week?
Well, if I'd known I was doing this, I could have brought out a thousand different things. But I'm going to show you something that we're actually working on for issue number 2 of Toy Robot. Every issue, we're going to cover what I call artifacts. If you remember, back in the day,
cool.
We used to call the old G1 miscellaneous items artifacts online. I don't know what kids are calling them now. But so I recently dropped a little sum of money, and I picked up a pencil case from Paxos over in Italy.
Ooh,
so cool. This came out in 1989, and it features just trippy artwork of Overlord there on the front, and if you remember, they released him at the very trail end of the European Transformers line. And so you open it up, it has all sorts of fun things. So I have a nice little write-up in the second issue about this. They also made a school bag with the same artwork, except where it says Transformers, it's like a radio tower. And then I can't find any information on the company. But I see back in Transformers Prime, they were still releasing school supplies with Transformer items on them. So there was like a Transformers Prime Optimus school folder. And so I thought that was kind of fun and neat. And this is just, it showed up online. I had the money. I was like, I don't care what the cost was. I was like, I'll throw 40, 50 bucks at it and wait like the month for it to come from overseas. And if it has a Transformers logo on it at one point in time, I used to have it. So I'm rebuilding my collection over the years. So I sold everything I had. I had tens of thousands of pieces in my collection back in the day. Sold everything. So now I'm up to like 1,100 pieces, but getting there again.
To say it's very unique to have Overlord on the Transformers merchandise there.
Yeah, like I said, Europe got a trail end of Japanese stuff there in 88, 89. Mm-hmm. And then they released it all with the Pretender coloring and design. 92. But yeah, pardon me, 92. I said 89, 92.
That was at the tail end.
Yep, so this is one of the very last original G1 items that was ever made in the world before they started on Generation 2.
Nice.
That's so cool.
Well, I had a couple pickups. I can show you on my phone one, and then the other one's simply just getting lucky going into Walmart. They had the Astro Train reissue, so I grabbed that. Our Walmart is, like, always the last Walmart to get anything. Like, people will post pictures of their finds of the new merchandise coming out months behind us.
I don't know. My Walmart sucks so bad.
Oh, God. It's so bad.
We're geographically isolated, so the next closest Walmart is 100 miles away. We're dead center of North America by like 40 miles. So trying to get anywhere to civilization outside of town takes an hour.
Yeah. So it makes trips kind of bleak when we go, but a fun purchase this week that I didn't like actively know existed until recently was a Takara Japanese Transformers game for the Famicom. And it was called Mystery of Convoy. So I bought that this week, and I'm looking forward to how terrible it is, because I've heard nothing but horrible things about it.
Yeah. Yes. I've played it on an emulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, I actually got one more thing if you guys got time. Like, you can tell your story, and then I can go grab it real quick or whatever.
Sure.
That's kind of fun. Okay. So Bill helped me grab this from a Walmart.
Oh, nice.
That's off of the recent cel-shaded displays they had. The workers didn't know what they had, and they had this tucked up on a shelf. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah, they weren't even using it.
I'm taking that. And so we just grabbed it when we bought some stuff. We're like, this is ours now.
We're suckers for displays. Back in first Transformer movie came out, there was a friend of mine who was an employee at Target, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but when they launched the initial first wave of figures for the movie, they had this
there you go, man.
They had this Transformers movie display that was about, you know, yay wide with a big Autobot logo in the front, and the eyes were illuminated, and it ran on like four D batteries. And I was like, dude, if I can get that. And sure enough, I got it sitting above my collection. I love it.
Nice.
That's cool. Super cool. All right. Well, I guess I will finish up. It's a little bit anticlimactic now that I'm showing off my stuff. But last week was my wife and I celebrated the anniversary of our first date. So this year we've been together 21 years this year. So
congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. And so I showed last year before Christmas, I showed off that I had picked up this Megatron. So actually Jimmers, our friend of the show, Jimmers, was able to pick this up at Walmart for me. And this was the 35th anniversary Megatron. That's the War for Cybertron Siege 35th anniversary Megatron. And so I've had this, it's been sitting in my basement, and my wife noticed it. And so she is very thoughtful, and she said, what can I get to go with that? And she picked up the 35th anniversary Optimus Prime, War for Cybertron Siege. So thank you, honey, for basically bringing these two frenemies together. So now I've got them together.
Your wife just continually just amazes us at her presence for you.
Yeah, our wives are beyond patient with our collecting.
Yep. I've been married 10 years. I don't know if you can see my wedding band, but it's the Autobot symbol. Mm-hmm. So obviously
that's actual wedding band. Yeah.
She knows it's a big part of my life. So I'm glad that she entertains me in that respect.
my wife definitely was okay with my recent purchase with Battle Beast. So,
all right, so that'll do it for Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will finish up the show with feedback.
Yeah, we have a voicemail from Dr. Pants. So
God, I love voicemails.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's Dr. Pants, and I'm just here with a little chit-chat for you. I love the reporting on the last few episodes about the Iron Trans figures, the Star Saber, and the Victory Leo. I'm a huge, huge Star Saber fan. In fact, I actually like a lot of the Japanese Transformers from that later G1 period, the stuff we got and the stuff we didn't get, like the Headmasters, Target Masters, Power Masters, the Brain Masters, all that stuff. It was really, really cool. I really, really love Star Saber because of how super robot-y he looks. And while I have the Masterpiece Star Saber, it's not the best figure. It looks really cool, and it's got a really good presence to it, but it's just not very poseable. It doesn't like to hold a pose. So the Iron Trans one looks really, really cool. And the fact that they're designing a Victory Leo to go with it, I am super pumped for that. I'm hoping down the line that maybe these companies move away from G1 and we start getting maybe later G1 stuff rather than just like first two seasons. I've really gotten into the Make Toys, Headmasters they did, and the Target Masters, and I'd like to see more of that. But anyway, guys, I hope you're looking forward to it. And just curious, if you could pick like obscure characters that haven't gotten a figure yet, gotten the Masterpiece or high-end treatment, what would you be looking forward to? Or even in the Earthrise, is there some obscure character you'd really like to see? I mean, we got Spinister, we got Crosshairs, we're starting to get the later G1 stuff, and I can't wait to see more of that. But let me know what you guys think, and hey, I'll catch you some other time.
He's always like, it's like he called us and we weren't there, so he just left the message.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry we missed your call. Well, I guess we'll go to our guest first. Bill and Eric, what obscure figures would you love to see?
Just in general?
Well, I guess in the upcoming like Earthrise or upcoming series.
I'm a sucker for a lot of the late run Japanese stuff that the United States didn't get, but I don't know. A Sunstreaker would be fun again. I've always been a fan of that design. Bill?
Yeah, and I'm kind of in that same boat where I want to see some of the overseas later G1 stuff that hasn't really been touched on too much. So unfortunately I can't add too much to this discussion as the names escape me at the moment, but yeah, you know, I'm excited for everything.
Let's bring back the Spark Bots. Those were fun.
I can totally see Hasbro doing that. Daryl, what would you like?
Well, for the longest time, I was campaigning for the return of Runabout and Runamuck, but that seems to be something that we're getting, so I'm pretty happy about that. As far as something for like an Earthrise line, I don't know. They're doing everything. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's anything that they're not doing. Yeah, I'm just going to let them keep going with that. But as far as something to get the Masterpiece treatment, I kind of would love to see a Pretender. Bludgeon, yeah. Bludgeon is really cool. Thunderwing is really cool. So, I mean, give one of these really cool characters that you do anyway, you know, give them the Masterpiece treatment and you know, really do them up. And, you know, if you're going to do Bludgeon, you know, maybe make him a Pretender, maybe not, but you know, he's got a really cool, iconic, you know, presence, and you could really do something with that character. There's been a lot of, you know, character development for Bludgeon, so yeah, he could definitely hold a Masterpiece character down.
Awesome, Charles.
Yeah, I agree that we're already getting a lot of obscure characters. Like, I never expected a Rung. We are getting a Double Dealer, which I didn't think we'd be getting that. I hope it comes with the Power Master gimmick for, you know, the two Power Master, Double Power Master gimmick. If I could think of figures that I'd like to see, I'd like to see a new Nightbeat, maybe with a Headmaster gimmick. So we did get a Nightbeat, you know, a few years ago in the Generations line, but a Nightbeat for Earthrise would be cool. I just like that character and like that figure. I don't know if, I mean, Daryl took my answer with Pretenders. I would like to see some new Pretenders, like doing Pretender shells and figures. I'm hopeful that we could get better inner robots with a better shell now with the way technology has advanced in the last 30 years, because the G1 Pretenders are pretty terrible in terms of the gimmick, but
yeah
I guess that's it.
Yeah. Well, I think that was also my my thing too, is just the Pretenders. We got just such a little bit of them with the Prime Masters. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would love to see a Mega Pretender done in Earthrise with, you know, they're doing all these gimmicks with the, like, we're getting the little connecting playset, like a version of those things.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mega Pretenders, where you could have like the inner robot connect to the, like the shell transformed, and I don't know. I just think there would be so many ways that they could go in Earthrise and homage that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bill. I was actually just remembered one. I was looking forward to seeing made was the, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a Titans class Scorponok coming, right?
The yes. Rumored.
Rumored, yeah. Because wasn't that up to fan vote, and that was the one that got picked?
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess you're right.
Well, they showed off the prototype at New York Comic Con last year.
Okay, I thought so. But that one I'm really looking forward to, and having justice done for that figure.
Yeah, and he's going to be on par with Fortress Maximus, so not like the G1 days where Scorponok was much smaller than Fortress Maximus.
Yeah,
and he's apparently even going to have the double headmaster gimmick, where the headmaster has a headmaster, just like Fortress Maximus. So justice for Scorponok.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is it for our feedback. If you'd like to send us feedback, go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback, and there you can leave a comment directly, or you can do like Dr. Pants did and leave us voicemail. We have a easy to use widget there that just makes it, you can even be on your phone and record us voicemail. But however you want to do it, let us know what you think. What would you like to see in Earthrise, or give us your thoughts on Toy Robot Magazine, and you know, we can pass it on, and we'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. Again, we want to thank Bill and Eric from Toy Robot Magazine for joining us this week.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. Glad to be here.
All right. And as we said earlier, go to facebook.com/Toy Robot Magazine, and you can see all the latest updates with their project. The Kickstarter will be going live in a couple of weeks. If you want to subscribe to the magazine at the, get in on the ground floor, get in at a reduced price. And we will definitely make sure to announce it here on Transmission, so you'll be up to date with that. So looking forward to that. And yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you. We're happy to try to bring something new to the fandom.
All right. And that'll do it for Transmissions. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
All right, so I'm just going to throw it back to Charles for a moment here. I did something to the dock. What the hell did I do?
It's fine, Daryl. It's back. We fixed it. It's okay.
Good. Are we okay to stop Audacity?
Nope, not yet.
No. Keep, let
okay,
it go.
All right. Keep going.
Do not stop anything. All right. So now let's talk about some Hasbro Transformers toy news this week. So start off with toy news. Daryl,
right.
Back to you.
All right. Here I am again.
But this isn't Hasbro.
Oh, well, we can cut that out.
Did you say talk about some Hasbro toy news?
Yeah, I did. I said Hasbro Transformers. Oh, well,
oh,
I'll cut it out. We'll cut it out in the edit. Oh, did we lose Jeremy?
Oh,
I don't know. Jeremy,
his cold finally got the best of him.
Jeremy, come back. Mom. Where's Jeremy?
There's movies that start this way.
Oh, there he's gone. He's gone, and now he's back.
Oh, it might be as his internet connection's getting a little. Hey, there he is.
Jeremy, are you there? Okay. Blink twice if you need help. Can you guys hear me now?
Just, I think Holy shit. Just restarting his application, so
okay,
hopefully
hello.
It feels stable.
I'm back.
Hey.
Hello. No idea.
All right.
I was like going on with this. At least it's recorded.
What is happening here?
And now we lost Daryl.
Oh, no.
Well, that's no loss.
Oh. Wow. The truth comes out. Daryl, you okay?
Yeah, well, I got cut off then. I was talking, and then my thing at the bottom said disconnected. I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, now we're going to go to Skype. So,
do not stop recording.
Yeah, do not stop Audacity.